Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. This will be the fifth message for today, and the last message for today. As I want to continue to preach briefly in the series titled The Lifestyle of the Messengers of Christ, Part 5, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 788, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1153, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your holy word. And Lord, no matter how difficult it gets, through it all, we thank you for the power of your holy word that sustains us and guides us and leads us and reminds us. For unfortunately, we are hell-bent on not having room in the inn for Jesus. It is baked into us in our sinful nature to not have room for you. But your holy word reminds us, especially if it is read every day and prayed over every day and heard, proclaimed every day, that not only should we make room for you, but you should be the center of our lives. And so many people are frustrated because they have never made you the centerpiece of their lives. And so, Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace, individually and collectively confessing our sins of putting ourselves first. Putting ourselves on the throne of our lives is all about us. When your servant Rick Warren started out his famous book, it is not all about us, it is all about you. And Lord, when we change that paradigm, we become more relaxed and more at peace and less frustrated, and not even frustrated at all, when we put you first and make you the center of our lives as you should be. So Lord, today have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins of putting ourselves first and not you first. And help us to repent of that and to turn from that evil and begin to live the victorious Christian life. Now, Holy Father God, we know the devil is fighting hard and thick and heavy today. I know that there are some Christians who don't know what that means, who have never faced battle with Satan because they have never done anything for the kingdom other than play church. But this is a real battle. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers that we can't see, demonic forces that are working against us each and every day when we are especially committed to praying without ceasing, praying in the morning, having devotions, and preaching your holy gospel each and every day, preaching sometimes four times a day. And the devil wants it stopped, and he will do anything he can and use anybody he can to stop it. And so, Lord, thank you for helping us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices and to be well aware of what he is doing and trying to do. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would protect the faithful, not only here but all across the country and around the globe, so that they can continue to proclaim the gospel, that lost people can be saved and saved people can be revived and your holy name glorified. Lord, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves, crush and crucify our flesh, and fill us all who are saved with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to not only preach your holy word and to have utterance, but, Lord, to hear your holy word and to change and do it. For we do have some people who know your holy word, who hear it preached on a daily basis, but they refuse, like Pharaoh, to repent and turn from their evil ways. And I pray that you would open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and help them to trust you as Savior, to repent of their sins, and to turn from their evil ways. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, the demons of hell, and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, out of the life of my wife, Marika White, and out of the life of others as well. And Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives, and lead and guide and direct them in the pathway of righteousness and holiness and helpfulness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Piper said, if you alter or obscure the biblical portrait of God in order to attract converts, by the way, as so many people are doing today, and it's so sad, you don't get converts to God. You get converts to an illusion. This is not evangelism, but deception. This is not the gospel. This is a false gospel. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue our focus on Jesus' initial instructions to the 12 as he sends them out on their first or one of their first missionary journeys. From this command, we have learned, number one, that the messengers of Christ go where he tells them. Number two, that the messengers of Christ, the apostles, go to their own. The third thing that we see from this passage, beloved, is that the messengers of Christ, the apostles, the servants of the Lord, go with a specific message. Jesus Christ said, as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the very same message that John the Baptist proclaimed, and the very same message that Jesus Christ proclaimed. And that ought to tell us something. If we are not preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then we are preaching the wrong message. Jesus did not send his disciples forth to preach that the kingdom of prosperity was at hand, which is no kingdom and which is a false gospel, or that the kingdom of health and wellness and wealth was at hand, because that is no kingdom and a false gospel, or that the kingdom of a trouble-free life was at hand, because that is a lie and a false gospel, or even that a political kingdom is at hand, which is a lie and a false gospel. But we have people today who are more concerned about a political kingdom than they are the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. And they are now getting egg on their face, looking silly, and having no influence on the king as they thought they would. Jesus sent them forth to preach that the kingdom of heaven was and is at hand. But what is the kingdom of heaven? And Dr. John Piper said the basic meaning of the word kingdom in the Bible is God's kingly rule, his reign, his action, his lordship, with a capital L, his sovereign governance, his will being done. Since God's purpose for the world is to save a people for himself and renew the world for that people, his kingly rule implies a saving and a redeeming activity on their behalf. This is why the coming of the kingdom in the New Testament is called good news, the gospel, which of course is all about the suffering, the bleeding, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection. For without that, we have nothing. In and through Jesus, God the King, with a capital K, is coming into the world in a new way to establish his saving rule. First, in the hearts of his people and in their relationships, by triumphing over sin, Satan, and death. Then by the exercise of his reign, gathering a people for himself in congregations that live as citizens of a new allegiance of the kingdom, not of this world and not of any political party, be it the elephant or the donkey. So when the disciples went forth to preach, they were delivering a two-part message to their hearers. Number one, the King, Jesus Christ, has come to save and redeem the world. Number two, you can be a part of the kingdom by submitting your life to the reign of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing on Christ and bowing to his lordship in your heart and in your life. And we have so many so-called Christians today who claim to be born again, but they have never submitted to the King. For Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This message was often hard for the disciples themselves to grasp, because they had grown up believing that the kingdom of heaven was synonymous with a political kingdom for the Jews, kind of like how some Christians are today. They think that the Republican Party is the Christian Party, or the Democratic Party is the Christian Party. I get tickled when the homosexual presidential candidate married to a man, so-called, gets up and talks about values. I find that so comical and so ridiculous. And then we have some on the Republican side who say silly things as well that they don't mean. Even after Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples' foremost question was, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? But Jesus primarily came to conquer by crucifixion and to establish his kingdom in a different way. That is, in the hearts of the men and women who would believe on him and trust in him and receive him. We might refer to this kingdom as Dr. John MacArthur does when he said the invisible kingdom. If we preach anything other than the coming of the invisible kingdom of God, the good news, the gospel, the breaking forth of divinity upon humanity, we are straying from our mission. People ought not to get the idea from our preaching that the gospel is about a physical reformation or a political party or financial, educational, social, or otherwise. The gospel is about a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual reformation, deep down in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. It is about the descent of heaven into the human heart to save its soul. It may very well have effects in the physical realm and in the kingdom of this world, but that is not our message. And I am so thankful that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention made that abundantly clear for that convention, and it should be the case for all Bible-believing Christians, black or white, red or yellow. And that is the gospel above all. The gospel above all. We may deal with this over here, we may deal with that, we may have to deal with this, but the gospel above all. Our message, beloved, is that the King came to save and redeem his creation. This is the good news. This is the gospel message of the apostles of Christ. Dr. Albert B. Simpson wrote, Jesus only is our message. Jesus all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus ever. Jesus only will we see. Harvest fields are waiting. Do not linger long. Borne upon the breezes comes the reaper's song. Patiently, O toiler, pluck the golden grain. Ere the shades of evening fall or hill and plain, harvest fields are waiting. Who will come today? Join the band of reapers. Bear the sheaves away. Soon the day of toiling will be ever past. May the master's greeting be well done at last. Harvest fields are waiting. Labor while you may. Time is swiftly flying. Come and work today. Come and work today. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you keeping the main thing, the main thing? That's what this whole Just Jesus evangelistic campaign is about. By the grace of God, we're the ones who kicked it off, helping Christians to understand we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is not politics. The main thing is not social causes. The main thing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ above all. We might be able to help you with this over here. Every now and then, we might be able to help you over here with this for a few minutes. But our main purpose, our main goal, is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that if you trust Christ as Savior, a lot of the problems that you have in your heart and in your life will begin to disappear. I said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot be a racist and a Christian at the same time. I said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot be a born-again Christian and an abortionist. I said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot be a born-again Christian and a homosexual or an adulterer or an adulteress, meaning you will not stay in it. At some point in your life, you will confess your sins and you will repent and you will turn from your evil ways. And you will become a part of God's church, understanding that even though you might be tempted to do certain things, as we all are, God will give you the grace to say no and to say yes to that which is right. So the problem is you must be born again. The problem is that you're not saved. You're not born again. And therefore you're not thinking right. And so the solution is you must be born again. You must be saved. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ above all. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin, our rebelliousness, our pride, our stubbornness, our hatefulness, our lying, our adultery, our fornication, our thievery. And hell awaits those who don't repent and trust Christ as Savior. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is, as one man said yesterday, a reality, whether you believe it or not. The Bible also states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." If you're living in these lifestyles, you're headed towards the lake of fire. So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. And death is coming fast enough. Just keep on living. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, dear friend, the good news is, it is as simple as that. Jesus Christ paid your debt, your sin debt in full. And all you have to do is trust in him. Believe on him that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul. And God promises that he will save you. So, if you're willing to trust Christ as Savior today, please pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have done evil in your sight. I have disobeyed my parents. I've dishonored my parents. I've stolen things before. I've lied about things before. I've lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I've taken your holy name in vain before. Lord, that's 5 of your 10 commandments, and I have broken more. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.